They tortured that boy. They tortured that father. They tortured the other two young men with him. And then they killed them. They beheaded them. And they took those headless bodies and crucified them and hung them in the village as a warning to others who might consider the Jesus way. 2,000 years ago, these words were written. I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God, because of the testimony which they had maintained, crying out in this loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they would rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, should be completed also. Can you hear the cry? How long? White robes continue to be distributed in this day, in this generation. 8 other team leaders from the same Christian ministry of the 4 that I just described were also swept up in another nearby village. 2 of them were women. They were also challenged to recant their faith. The women expressed that they were simply expressing the love and peace of Jesus to the people. The response was that they were publicly raped and then executed after torture with all 8. And so now you've got 12 Christians crucified. This didn't happen 2,000 years ago. This happened in September this year. We just got word in the last few weeks of 3 Syrian Christians who were executed by ISIS, including Dr. Abdul Masa, and I'm probably not saying his name correctly. But the pastor, the president of the Christian Missionary Alliance in Syria, described him as a rare individual. He took a huge risk. He stayed in his village to care for his people. He had a Bible study in his village, and he, along with 2 others, were swept up, and they too paid for the price of representing Christ with their very lives. 3 other CNMA leaders have also been swept up in recent weeks and are now captives of ISIS. How do you and I respond knowing that that's happening to brothers and sisters in Christ? Is it fair to say that for some of us, we are so caught up in our lives, we hardly pay attention? We barely notice. If I told you that Phyllis was being accosted on a subway for sharing Jesus, would that get your attention? Because she's one of us, right? Now, that hasn't happened yet. I'm not praying. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But knowing Phyllis, she and others with her, they're bold and they'll be willing to share Jesus. Maybe it will happen. But she's one of us. And we're praying for her in New York City. And what's happening in this week, right? So too are those 12 that were martyred. So too are the 21 Coptic Christians from Egypt that were killed not so long back. These are our brothers and sisters. How do you and I respond? Matthew 5:10 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus said, "The world is going to hate you just as they hated me." Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you. The price of following Jesus continues to be high and climb. And we are very naive if we think that somehow in this country we will escape that. It will come here too. It is here. And there will be more. But we are not yet walking where our brothers and sisters are walking. I remember Paul saying to Tim, "Don't be ashamed to testify about the Lord or ashamed of me as his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy life. Tim, if you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to be pursuing a godly life, you will be persecuted. That's a promise in Scripture. You will be persecuted if you follow Jesus. Are you willing? We just sang a song that said, I stand. Those are the words that the Lord gave me to share with you this morning. Some of you know I've been out of town for a week, but it's been a wonderful week. I've had 4 days, yes, of solitude and walking in the mountains and those kinds of things, but it's time to hear. And the word from the Lord is, stand. Stand firm in Christ. Stand firm with the body of Christ. I want to share just three brief thoughts here that go along with that. The first is, I will stand up for Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is talking about the power of the gospel. He's talking about, this is the good news that was shared. And so he writes, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. And by this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. And the word is, I will stand up for Jesus. I will continue to be bold and testify of Jesus. How can I not speak of Jesus to the people around me when I have brothers and sisters in Christ who are dying simply to follow in His footsteps? How can I hold back and not say something to the people around me when brothers and sisters in Christ are laying down their life and refusing to turn from Jesus and suffering as they're suffering? Simply to follow in His footsteps. I will stand up for Jesus. Paul says, I want to remind you about that gospel. You see, Messiah suffered on that cross. He came, He died on that cross. He was buried the third day. He rose again. And it was as the Scripture said it would be. And Jesus is all that the Scripture said He would be. And He is Messiah and He is Lord and He is the Son of God. And so I'm not embarrassed or ashamed of the gospel, but willing to share that. I will stand up for Christ. I believe that's what God's Word reminds us and challenges us to do. And more so even when the world is trying to make us be quiet and be silenced. Jesus talked about this. Mark chapter 13, verse 9, he says, you have to be on guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and you will be flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And you don't have to worry about what to say because the Holy Spirit will give you words. He'll give you the words to say and you'll know what to say at that time. The Spirit of God will give you what you need. But will you stand up for Him? Do you remember this warning in Scripture? This warning that says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me or denies me before men, I will disown him before the Father in heaven. You'll find that in verses 32 through 33, again of Mark 13. God's Word reminds us that we are to stand up for Jesus. We're to be willing to speak. We're to be willing to testify with our lives and our words and our actions. Faith in Jesus. That's what God's called us to. We're also to stand up for our suffering brothers and sisters. You might recall these words from Peter, 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and following. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the painful trial that you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of glory rather than of God, rests on you. If you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name. For those suffering according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. You see, part of the story of those who were martyred in Syria was that they chose to stay when they had the opportunity to leave. They were given the opportunity to leave. They said, no, the Lord wants us to be here. He wants us to share the gospel with others. He wants us to be here with our brothers and sisters that are suffering and struggling. And so we choose to stay and stand for Jesus with them. God invites each and every one of us to do the same and to stand with those who are suffering for the sake of Christ. At the end of Colossians chapter 4 and verse 18, I was reading that in my devotions this morning. Paul has these simple words. At the very end of that letter, he says, "Remember my chains. Remember my chains." He's saying, remember that I'm imprisoned for the sake of Christ. Remember those that are suffering for the sake of Christ. Don't forget them. Don't ignore. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3. Remember those in prison as if you were a fellow prisoner with them. You and I are invited to go in that way. And again, what happens in our lives? We're so busy. We're so focused. We're so consumed with what's going on in our world. We're almost oblivious to the suffering of those around us. Yes, this is the International Day of Prayer and Support for the Persecuted Church. That's what this Sunday represents. That's why I choose to speak on this topic today, yes. But it's not a one-day thing. We're to be standing with our brothers and sisters in Christ as they struggle and as they go through this time. We have family in Syria, CNMA church people like you and I, who there are husbands that are missing from those families because they've been taken captive and no one knows where they are, what happened to them. But there are families that are left behind and these people are left to pick up the pieces. And they live in a war zone. You see the news. You know the kind of situation that they're in. And yet there they are. And will you and I care enough to stand up with them and for them? And be engaged with that. Do you know the name Saeed? Pastor Saeed is an American pastor who is imprisoned in Iran because he cared for orphans. He was loving kids and got thrown in jail because they trumped up some other charges. And Iran's not friendly to Christianity at all. But there he is and there he suffers. You might Google it sometime soon and just see some of the letters that he's written to his kids that have come out of that jail as he prays for America and invites us to be praying for him, not just him, but all those. Again, remember my chains. We stand up for our suffering brothers and sisters in Christ. What can you do that's more than just words? Can I make some suggestions today? There are some things you can do. You can get involved with a ministry like Voice of the Martyrs. It has a letter-writing ministry, and that ministry is, you can tackle it, you can get involved in it, and you can be writing letters to government officials on behalf of Christians that are in prison and draw attention to them and a spotlight to them and an attempt to put pressure on these governments to release these people from prison. You can do that. Can you pick up a pen? You know how to write a letter? That's something you could do, very practical. Very involved. You can support a ministry that supports the families of those whose loved ones are imprisoned or are suffering unjustly. And you could be helping support that ministry in that way and provide for those families. There's things you can do. Very, very practical at that point. It's something about stepping up and standing up. We have lawmakers here in the United States that need pressure from their constituents to say, why are we not doing more to seek the release of Christians? People are in prison only because they're believers, and you are negotiating with that government and creating deals, and you never talk about our own citizens. What's wrong with that story? You can respectfully disagree with the government and say, I invite you to go on our behalf and represent Pastor Saeed and others who are unjustly imprisoned. You can do that. You have that right in this country. You have the freedom and privilege in this country to do that. Will we do that? Or are we just too busy with our stuff? Standing up for those who are suffering. I want to suggest to you the most important thing you can do is pray. And that's no small thing. Pray. I will stand firm in prayer. Peter, in chapter 4 and verse 7, says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Paul in Ephesians 6:18, he's been talking about spiritual warfare. Again, he's in prison as he's writing these things. He's talking about praying in the power of the Spirit and to continue to keep on praying. Remember, pray for all of the Christ followers. All of them, pray for them. Don't stop praying. Intercede for the sake of the church. And he says, and pray for me that when I open my mouth, words may be given me, that I'll speak fearlessly. Paul's saying, I need prayer too. In fact, if you read in the letter to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, you know, there was a time we despaired of life. We weren't sure we were going to survive what's going on. And he said, but that happened so that we would put our trust in God who raises the dead. And he delivered us, and he will deliver us. And so we put our hope on him as you what? Help us with your prayers. And so Paul's talking about the power of prayer for those who are suffering for the sake of the gospel, those who are standing up for Jesus in hard places, difficult places, but they're being bold and standing up, but they need prayer. They need covering. Will you and I stand up in that way? I believe God's inviting us to do that, and not just one Sunday a year, but it's a weekly, daily. I'm going to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to pay attention to the news, and I'm going to remember to pray for these ones and pray that God would be present and be their life and their support and their encouragement. Our job is to hold the ropes. The Scripture says of Jesus that he lives to intercede. He's interceding. He's praying. Hebrews chapter 7. Okay? He is praying for the church. And you and I are invited to do that. Join with him in praying for the church. And the bottom line is, as we sang a few moments ago, I will stand. I will stand. It's interesting. The bookends of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about the gospel by which you put your faith and you stand firm there. That's verse 1. Verse 58. Does anybody know what that says? Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your work in the Lord is not in vain. And so I will stand firm, unmoved, passionate, continuing to press forward with the gospel, not ashamed of it, but bearing witness to it and standing up for Jesus and standing up for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are struggling. And so God invites us to do that. Can I hear an amen this morning? Is that your heart? I've got something on my wrist. I've been branded. I have an Arabic letter. It's the letter N, Nun. It stands for the Nazarene. And on the inside of this band, here's what it says. I will not let them serve alone. I will not let them suffer in silence. I'll do my part.